lay on your face. God's with you. His presence is here. It's always here. It's amazing. It's amazing. God, you're amazing. You're an awesome God. So wonderful. So powerful. So glorious. You're an awesome God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Touch your people, Lord. Touch your people, Lord. Do what only you can do, Lord. Do what only you can do, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sweet atmosphere. Sweet atmosphere. In Him. Hallelujah. Many say, what are you doing? Nothing. I'm receiving. I'm not doing anything but yielding. It's all it takes. Yielding. The moment you yield is the moment you receive. Say, I don't know what to receive. Just yield. God knows what you have need of. More than you know. You can plan it. You can try every way. But just yield. Your answer is found in Him. Father, I thank you for this day. I lift up each and every person under the sound of my voice to you right now. And I thank you for their heart and their lives. I thank you for what you have for them. I thank you for the transforming power that is available to every person that desires it. Life-changing, life-altering power, resurrection power. That this day they receive more than what they ever can imagine. Go deeper than they've ever been before. Go further than they've ever gone before. Become stronger than they've ever been before. Hallelujah. Father, we give our lives to you. We give this service to you in this time. It's your time, Lord, to do whatever it is that you need to do for your people today, for your family, for your children. We are just vessels opening up our hearts to receive from you today. And we thank you in advance, Lord, that you're going to fill our vessel to overflowing and transform our lives and heal our bodies and heal our marriages and restore relationships. Hallelujah. It's in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. I keep getting the words, let him in. Let him in. Thank you, Lord. Let him in. Say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Open your heart and let him in. Let the Lord flow. Let go and let him flow. He'll bring you what you have need of. We had testimonies of healing. God's power released. You have a testimony. Let him in. He's knocking. Let him in. Your healing is at the door, church. Jesus the healer is at the door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When Jesus shows up, everything changes. Jesus never asks a time frame. He never asks a diagnosis. He doesn't ask a stage. When Jesus shows up, everything changes. There's no limit. God is a limitless God. And he does not operate on man's realms. This world doesn't move God. God moves this world. He's a world changer. He's a mountain mover. Nothing too big for God. There's somebody here that's right on the fence. As I'm speaking, you're saying in your mind, could that be for me? Does God love me enough that that could be for me? Because I've never heard something quite that bold. I don't deserve that much blessing. I'm not worthy of that. I'm here to tell you, yes, you are. Yes, you are. It's yours. Jesus came and died and rose again, so it could be yours. Receive it now by faith. Receive it now by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Jesus. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. If this is speaking to you, I would like you to come forward. If you need healing in your body, if you need a touch of God, I want you to come forward. God miraculously healed cancer. He healed leprosy. He's brought people back from the dead. If you're breathing, you're a candidate. Even if you're not breathing, you're a candidate. sure nobody's out on the floor. No, we're good. Okay. Whether you know it or not, in God's eyes, raising someone from the dead is no more miraculous or no more difficult than healing a headache. Be made whole. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Now, in Jesus' name, be made whole. Be made whole. Thank you, Jesus. There it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. By His stripes, you are healed. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Sure. 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 It's on you. It's flowing through you. Father, I thank you. Lift both hands up. One's for one grandparent, one's for the other. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I rebuke the devourer in Jesus' name. Broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Testimonies. 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 Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not too late. It's not too late. Everything has a report. Everything has a report. There's a good report. And there's bad reports. But with God, they're always good. Amen. Always. Amen. So if you've gotten a bad report, it's not of God. And if you have a bad report, it can change. Amen. We're not saying the report is in error in the moment. But what we are saying is the report doesn't have to stay that way. Amen. We don't deny that people are sick and going through things. We don't deny the doctor's report, but it's not the final authority. It's not the supreme authority. And your body, by faith, has to line up to the good report. If you're willing to want it and desire it, you can have it. It's yours. It's yours. I'm done with satisfactory report. I want a good report. Outstanding. Over the top report. When I was in school, you got an O, a S, or an N, I think it was. S was satisfactory. Wasn't the best. In health, that would be, I can live with what I have. I can process through. I can handle what I'm going through. I'll make it through. That's satisfactory. It's like a C, average. Telling you, do not let the physical hold you back from what God has for you. I've never done that before. There's all kinds of excuses. I've never done that before. I can't do that. Nobody in my family's ever done that. Yeah, nobody in my family was a preacher either. We just broke that mold. And just to top it off, my wife is a preacher. My daughter can preach. And so is my son. So it went from batting zero to batting 1,000. What can God do for you? Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, you're good. Lord, you're good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's not over. We're just transitioning. Hallelujah. Be ready, ushers. It's good. Help the people out. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Some of you are like, man, I had church already. God's got more for you. Amen. Amen. How many believe that God has more for you?
Amen.
Amen. You can be in the presence of God thinking you're getting everything, and all of a sudden you stay a little longer, and he gives you more. So get ready. God's got more for you today. I'm excited. I heard the offering. I heard the testimonies this morning, and I know they weren't online, but we'll try to get them online on our website. But I was up there weeping, and I'm thinking to myself, we should be so ecstatic, so in awe of God, of what he's doing. All of God for what he's doing. It's powerful. It's powerful. And I felt the Lord tell me, and he's told me this before, he reminded me. He's like, I am the healer. And I'm like, yes, Lord, I know you're the healer. And I trust you, and I've seen you, and I've experienced your healing. But he said this, I'm also the protector. And I'm like, yes, Lord. And he's like, that's where you can stay. If you stay in my protection, you won't need my healing. And I thought, yes, Lord. And he's speaking that to me. I'm just sharing my testimony of the Lord speaking to me as Jesus, my protector. And when I yield to his protection and I follow after what his word says, he promises to protect me. And I want to share that with you, that God is a protector. He's watching over his word to perform it in your life. And I want to encourage you, take all that God has. Watch him protect you. And as I share this morning, I'm going to share the offering, but after the offering, I'm going to share about Joseph. And I hope you have a pen and paper. Because as we get into Joseph's life, you're going to realize something. That God's hand was on Joseph, and it didn't matter what was taking place around him. It didn't matter. And as I was preparing, I was like, well, this is going to be 5 steps. To Joseph's victory in authority, or 7 keys. And I kept going, reading the word, and I realized it's unending. There's attributes of God that are unending. You can't dig it all up. So I hate putting numbers on things because I know that's not the finality. Like numbers of testimonies in your life. Don't think if you've had 5 miracles that God's done. You hear what I'm saying? The attributes of God are unending. The love of God is unending. His miracles, His authority is unending. You can dig and never get to the finality of it. That's how good God is. As a pastor, it's like, Lord, what do you have for me? This is great, but it's not the end. This building's not the end. You've been married 30 years, 40 years, great, but it's not the end. The best is yet to come. As wisdom and knowledge come, more is released to you. And I just want to encourage you in that. Even in finances, you say, well, I got a great job, great business, things are going well, I'm prospering. God's not done with you. Where do you ever read that God's finished with a person? He's never finished with someone. Ever. Ever. It's unending. Why do I say it? Because we get to go to heaven at the end. It's everlasting. God's attributes are unending. So never think you've arrived. That's my word for you. Don't think you're arrived and everything is just because it's good in the natural. That's not the end. That's not the end. Amen. If you could turn to Mark 12, verse 41. As we prepare for the offering this morning, I just want to share this with you because it's so powerful. And every time I open my Bible, I'm just in awe of God. Verse 41 says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. I read that and I thought to myself, God is concerned about hearts. If you want to know anything, if you learn anything about God, know that God looks at the heart. That's what He's looking at. That's what He's working with. That's the way He operates. He operates through the heart of man. Amen. So when our heart is right, there's operation going on. Amen. He can use you. But here we see, and a lot of people get upset about this, but where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And you say, God doesn't care about money. Apparently, to look at someone's heart, you have to look at their finances. And you say, well, that's mean, Pastor. Jesus did it. Let me read it again. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury. That's Jesus, sorry, online, but our camera's not big enough. That's like Jesus sitting here in the treasury boxes over there, and Jesus is watching the people give. That's what this is saying. Sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. He's not talking about the amount of money at this point. He's talking about their heart. He's watching the hearts of the people as they give. Would it be terrible if the pastor sat up here and watched everybody give? I wouldn't do that. But that's what Jesus is doing because He's looking at their heart. Because He knows where their heart is, that's where their treasure is also. Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrants. So He called His disciples to Himself and said to them. So here's Jesus watching the heart of the people give. And then He calls His disciples. As surely I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So, no, Jesus did not walk over there and count the money, but He knew by the Spirit whose heart was sold out for Him, whose heart was fully surrendered, trusting in Him. Not off of the quantity, but off of the quality. Off of the heart of the matter. The heart of your giving answers everything. When it comes to an offering, your heart says it all. Your heart says it all. Not the quantity, not the quantity, the quality of the giving. Notice here, for they all put in, and some put in abundance, But they did not give the way this widow gave. Jesus was watching this. Jesus was seeing the hearts of the people. So I just want to encourage you. I'm not going to spend a long time on this. All I'm asking is, do between you and the Lord, give your heart to God. Examine your heart when you give. I am not asking for money. I'm not asking for an amount. This is an offering. Sure, we receive tithes and offering, but this is talking about an offering. And it's very important to realize something, that your heart is everything in your offering. It's everything. Your faith attached to your offering. Why you give is what speaks. See, faith speaks. So when you release, you're speaking where your heart is by your giving. Just like when you speak out of your mouth, you're either speaking blessing or cursing. You're either speaking faith or fear. Guess what? Your giving has the ability to have faith or fear or a motive behind it. I'm touching on something that people don't normally talk about, but I want you to understand something. Your giving either has faith attached to it or fear attached to it. Or your giving may not have anything attached because nothing's happening. But not here at New Freedom. That's not the case here. We are blessed beyond measure. Blessed beyond measure. We are a giving church. Amen. Amen. A giving church. You guys are wonderful givers. I just want you to know that the heart behind it, I want your prayer answered. I want your giving to work for you. And the way that operates is by having a heart for God and giving out of a pure heart. Amen. Not out of your abundance, it says, but out of your poverty. Her faith in God was everything when she gave. Amen. Amen. Ushers, if you could come forward, receive the offering. Hallelujah. Ask yourself. Just ask yourself, is my heart right before the Lord? Hold on, ushers, don't go yet. I want to give the people a little more time. There's a screen, how to give. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, ushers. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You could hear a pin drop in here. This isn't a sad time, church. Giving is a glorious time. It's a time of rejoicing. Amen. Isn't that right, brother? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sharing this to bless you. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those listening online, as I said, there's many ways to give. But please give out of a pure heart. Because giving's just a monetary thing that doesn't do anything unless your heart and faith is attached to it. Dare I say this? It'd be better not to give if your heart isn't right. It will be a debt to your account if your heart and faith is not attached to it. Oh, but when your faith is attached to it, it'll multiply and transform lives like never before. You'll see the miraculous take place when God touches your life and your finances. Heavenly Father, you're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. And Father, I thank you. Wherever someone is financially, Lord God, You see their heart, Lord. And Father, I know, and we know, that the heart of a person is key. That it's not the amount. It's the faith and the quality of the giving on the inside. And Father, I thank you even now, you're working all things out for good to those who believe. Father, you're working in areas that we never thought possible financially. You're working on hearts of people that's beyond our ability, that we thought would never have the potential. But God, you're working. You're working in business. You're working in properties. You're working in jobs. Lord, you're moving mountains. Even now. Even now. I believe it. I see it. I see mountains moving in people's lives. Financial burdens being removed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Testimonies of financial struggles, all of a sudden, what just happened? Bills being paid, mortgages being paid. I'm telling you, church, you grab a hold of these truths and believe in a miracle working God, you'll see the miracles in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you that you're touching your people even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Help Pastor to open the lid on the water. It works better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this is a unique service this morning, to say the least. Every time I come this way and I tend to look up, I see you. And not just naturally, there's something happening in the spirit realm that's going to manifest in the natural realm. I don't really know exactly what it is, but I know it's really, really good. So get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Hallelujah. God sees your heart. And don't get offended, everybody else, just because I spoke to him, okay? It doesn't mean your heart's bad, all right? Don't let the enemy lie to you. It's just I have to do what the Spirit's telling me to do, okay? So if you got a problem with what I just did, that's between you and the Lord. Don't blame me. Okay. Glad we got that straight. Amen. Everybody excited about what the Lord has? Yeah. Believing God for good things? Well, guess what? The Lord spoke to me this morning and said, you know what? Preaching gets you in the game. Teaching allows you to play the game. And I thought, yes, Lord, that's true. That's true. Because the preaching of the gospel gets you in the family, but teaching allows you to operate within the family, to function in the places that God has for you. He's telling me that because I like to preach. And he's telling me that, so I teach today. So I'm sharing that with you, that I'm going to do my best by faith to step out and teach this morning. Amen. Some of you may not understand what I'm saying, but when you have a desire and a flow that you normally walk in, for the Lord to tell you to go a different route and enter into a place that is kind of unnatural for you spiritually, you got to do it by faith. Because it's out of the normal flow. Amen. Amen. You got to do it by faith. It's kind of like you're used to walking, but the Lord says run. You may have to do it by faith. Okay. All right. You'll wake up here. All right. Here we go. Genesis 37. I'm going to talk about Joseph. And the title of the message is Authority. We've been dealing with authority for like 4 weeks, and the Lord won't release it from me. So I keep going after it, and He spoke to me life lessons of Joseph concerning authority. So some practical truths that will help you understand not only God's authority, but your authority, and what you need to do and operate in to allow God's authority to flow through you, to start seeing yourself, amen, as a man and woman of God in authority. This is what I'm, practical things today. It's going to be practical, because most people want to see the spectacular, but they miss the practical. They want to see all this great miracle, but that's a touch from God. What about walking in miracles? What about living a life filled with miracles daily? The peace and the presence of God, walking and talking in the cool of the day. Amen. Going to your job and feeling the presence of God. Versus coming to church and then you get a touch once a month or once a week, but then you're struggling the other 6 days. That's not God's best. That's not God's will. God's will is for you to walk in His blessing, not just get a shot of His blessing. And that's what teaching will do. Amen. It's one thing, like a child, they have to learn how to walk on their own. Amen. You'll stand them up, but I guarantee you, parents and grandparents, you do not want to hold your kid when they're 25 and trying to teach them how. They got to walk on their own. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We as believers, same thing spiritually. We got to hear the voice of God. We got to walk on our own. Yeah. Amen. We got to get our own prayers answered. Yeah. Amen. That's what I want to give you, some practical things. And Joseph, I believe it was last Monday, the Lord's like, go to Genesis 37. Read about Joseph. I was like, okay, Lord. He was preparing me for this message. And I've been reading about Joseph ever since this week. So these are life lessons of Joseph. Joseph did what needed to be done. He wasn't moved by man or any situation. When you want to understand authority, God's authority is not moved by the natural realm. And I don't have points to this message. You need to take notes, because there might be, I might have about 20 points, and we might end up with about 50. I don't know. So I don't have them written down like point 1, 2, 3, okay? You're going to have to, by the Spirit, know what points speak to you. Amen. Amen. This is teaching. Teaching is for a reason, right? Teaching helps you be able to do it on your own, all right? We don't live a life where our math teacher has to constantly do what's 1 plus 1, what's 1 plus 1, and give us the answer. See, the world wants the answer. They don't want to understand the equation. They just want the answer at the end. And that's the problem. People can't stand on their own because they allow the government or other things to help them stand. But you don't need the government when you can stand on your own. You don't need a bank when you're debt-free either. Amen. Come on. You don't need a credit score when you don't need credit. You own it.
Come on.
Come on. I know this is anti-world, but the church is not of this world. So guess what? We're going to teach the principles of God's word. Amen. And it's going to change your thinking. There's times when I went to college. I did go to college. Not times, but you go there and you learn things to do it better than what you think you can do it. Amen. We have to spiritually get to a place where we don't know everything. Amen. And we must submit ourselves to God, to a higher power, to a delegated, to authority, a supreme authority. And as we submit and get under Him, we'll realize that we actually get higher. But we have to surrender first. The way to rise up in God is to surrender. We must decrease so He can increase. Remember that. It's the Bible. Amen. So Joseph gives many, many things to help us understand authority. And he started out at a very young age. He understood, respected, and operated under authority. Genesis 37, verse 1 says, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of, and I may not pronounce these, but that's okay, Bilhah, and the sons of Ziphel, whatever, has his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report to them, to his father. So listen here. Number one, 17 years old. You can understand authority at 17 years old. Don't buy the lie. Someone has to be 21. See, 21, 18, those are all man-made numbers. There's children that are 8 years old that submit to authority. There's children that are 2 years old that understand authority. The way you understand authority is if you have boundaries. Amen. If there's a standard to live by, children will meet the standard. This Bible is our standard. Amen. And when you live by it, you respect it, and guess what? You receive the blessing of it. Amen. This is all about authority. I'm realizing Genesis 1 to Revelation is all about authority. It's all about authority. So here Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brother. I say number one, number five, whatever it is, point. Here's a point. Joseph was doing something. If you want to understand authority, you got to be putting your hand to something. Amen. All through Scripture, men of God were doing something when the Lord spoke to them. Men were not sitting on the couch with bonbons and milk duds when the Lord spoke to them. They were busy. Yeah. Abraham was working. Yeah. King David, before he was king, was tending sheep. Joseph was tending sheep. Amen. All through Scripture, they were working. Yeah. They were working. Peter, fishing when the Lord spoke to him. John, working. Matthew, tax collector. Luke, a physician. They had a job. They had a job. That may be foreign to people. Oh, I'm waiting for the Lord to speak to me. Put your hand to something, He'll speak through it. Come on. You'll see God while you're working. One of the reasons why people do not walk in authority is because they cannot submit to natural authority. Come on. If you cannot submit to natural authority, the Lord is not going to use you. Preach. I just said it. I know this is like, golly, Dave, Pastor, you're just so mean. This is, I'm coming against the things of this world. These are teachings of the kingdom of God. If you are too lazy to work for somebody else, God is not going to use you to work for Him. God sees your labor and you're submitting to authority in the natural to be able to see the test, to see you working. If you cannot submit to someone that's standing before you in the natural, God's not going to use you. How is He going to entrust to you the things of the kingdom if you cannot even submit to the things of the earth? I know this is not a shouting, let's run around and dance message, but this is the type of message that's going to cause you to walk in God's authority every day. Amen. And get the victory every day. People don't want to work. They don't want to put, God will bless what you what? Put your hand to. If you're not putting your hand to something, you're lazy. People have excuses why they're not working. I'm telling you, excuses will not carry you in the kingdom of God. They will not establish you. If you want to go up and do great attributes for God, start out going to work day in and day out. Do what your boss tells you to do. You say, well, that's so simple. People haven't been able to figure that out. I'm telling you, this is so simple. This is so simple. I was in the middle of a cornfield outside of Ridgely, Maryland, on a combine when the Lord spoke to me. I was working. Milking cows, working, laboring, providing for my family. And the Lord's like, yeah, I can use him. He's a hard worker. Do I work to get to hear the voice of God? No, but God speaks through that. And I'll never get to my message if I stay hung up on this. So a point, Joseph was feeding the flock with his brothers. Another point in verse 2, he gave a bad report to his father. The totally different point here, but it's something that has to be said. What did Joseph do? Joseph was not afraid that those that he was working with, when they did wrong, he spoke to authority. All right, this is understanding authority. Go to the one that has the authority. Don't gossip with the people around you. Or don't fall into what they're doing. You want to understand authority? You have to respect authority. What did Joseph do? He went to his father and said, this is what... It doesn't mean you're a snitch. All right, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if something is wrong, you need to be willing enough to deal with it. You need to respect authority above you to be able to get to the place of authority for yourself. Because what you sow, that's what you'll reap. So if you stay at a level and talk about your boss and keep going on with the ways of the world, you'll never get to the place, because God cannot entrust you with his riches because you're not able to handle your own. I know this is exciting stuff. This is wonderful. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. I'm not saying that, Lord. That's not for me. Verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. You're thinking to yourself, is Pastor crazy? He's talking to himself. It's me and the Lord. We're working things out. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Here's another point. People will not like you when you start having favor. That's all. This is authority. This is understanding authority. Meaning, you may have started your job doing a good job. The boss sees it, gives you a promotion, but he does not give it to other people that have been there longer. The other people will get mad. But guess what? That's not your problem. You just do what the Lord's telling you to do. And God is not a God of unions. God does not operate like that. He does not give raises to everybody a flat rate across the board, whether you work or not or show up or not. He does not operate like that. Pastor Lacey's like, well, stay away from that kind of stuff. I can't. I can't stay away from it because that's a lie. God does not just bless like generically. Let's just bless. Everybody gets the same blessing. No, he operates off of faith. If you're faithful to his word, you're going to get it. Your neighbor's not. You say, well, that's a mean God. No, he's a just God. He's a just God. What if you're the one putting the time in at work, laboring diligently, and the person next to you is doing squat on their phone all day, and they get the same raise as you do? Oh, well, that's not right. Well, that's the way God operates. God will operate and see who is faithful. Faithful over little, I'll make you ruler over much. Amen. You must be faithful with mammon. You must be faithful with what you can see on this earth, and that'll cause you to be raised up in God. Amen. He'll show you spiritual things. So guess what this did? All the brothers got mad because he got the coat of many colors. People get offended when you start walking in authority. The moment you step over into a place of authority and favor, every demon in hell will come out after you. Every person will be like, oh, yeah, right. All the people will be talking about you. Oh, you got the raise. Don't feed into it. Don't feed into it. So many times I've seen it in secular work where if a raise comes, all the employees talk about their raises and what they got. And then there's infighting because somebody got more than somebody else. And all it is, it's just your flesh. Stay out of those things. I told you this is a very practical message, but it has spiritual consequences to it. Amen. So he was hated. Remember that. Remember the tunic, because we're going to get into it. Skip down to verse 8 here. This is where Joseph had a dream. And in verse 7, he talks about how they stood around him and bowed to him. Guess, you share a dream like that with people that don't like it, they're going to like you even more, not like you even more. So this is what happened. Joseph's having a dream, and he's just being real with his brothers. He's just sharing what the Lord spoke to him. Be careful who you share with what the Lord is speaking to you. Amen. If people are not in faith, they will get mad. They will get mad. Verse 8, and his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. So here we go. Joseph is sharing his dream and is irritating the pants off of his brother. Can you imagine? I am the younger brother, so I can understand this. My brother's not here, but, you know, we had fun growing up together. But it would be like me getting the inheritance, me getting everything, and him getting nothing. It'd be like me having a dream about all these blessings and sharing it with my brother about, I had a dream that my dad was giving me everything and you were getting nothing. Guess what? That wouldn't go over well. All right, well, that's the way things are. Even spiritually, God will give you visions and dreams of things. Be careful who you share them with. They're sacred. The Lord will lead you who to share them with. Share them with people that will understand God. Don't share them with the world. You don't see people going on Facebook, well, the Lord told me this, this, and they list everything the Lord told. Be careful. Be careful. Verse 10. So he had, verse 9 shares another dream. I have to kind of skip some verses. You saw, just please go with me, okay? Read it more later. Verse 10, so he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him. Okay, so now Joseph's sharing with his parents, and his dad rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow to you, to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. At least his dad was respectful enough to hear what he had to say, but not get over into envy. Okay? It's important to understand this. So moving on down, verse 14, it says, then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers. So this is, just to kind of keep you going here, this is Jacob asking Joseph to go find his brothers. Okay, so it's good to see here that even though Jacob rebuked Joseph for his dream, they still were able to converse. That's important. That's vitally important. Okay, so if you share things with someone and they don't agree with you, as men and women of God, we should be stand up. We should be, what's the word I'm looking for? We should be strong enough to be able to still work together even though we don't agree. Okay, so you may come to me and share a thought with me, and I not agree with you as the pastor of the church. We should be able to say, well, I see what you're saying, I receive what you're saying, but in the end, this is what we're going to do as a pastor. And we should still be able to have fellowship. But if you run away and get offended, guess what? That's another thing about authority. You will not be able to respect authority. You're not going to go far with God. Okay? Think about this. Okay. Get it in your heart. Amen. So here we go. Verse 14. Then he said to him, please go and see it, if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out to the valley of Hebron, and he went to... Man, these words are getting me. Anyway, he went there. Verse 15. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, and for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Verse 18, now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. So here we have, this is a mess going on. There is a big mess in this family. So Joseph's going to find his brothers to see how they're doing, and the whole group of his brothers are conspiring to kill him, to take him out, because envy. So if you have offense and envy about someone or something, it leads to death. The wages of sin is death. Yeah. This is not my message today, but you got to understand the flip side of this. If you're angry about someone that's in authority over you, guess what? You're going nowhere. It's going to lead to negative things. So when you gossip about your boss with your other coworkers, I'm telling you, you're just setting yourself up for failure. This is exciting, isn't it? Praise God, this is exciting. So they're conspiring to kill him. So when he finally got there, verse 23, it came to pass, Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic. Watch this now. They stripped him of the very thing that meant so much to him that his father gave him. People will try to strip the anointing, the giftings, and the power that's on your life when they don't agree with you. This is all about authority. You must stand in the place that God has for you, no matter what people think, say, or feel about it. If God says, David, you're a pastor, I have called you to pastor New Freedom Church. God said it. I can't change that. And I'm going to stand here as long as the Lord wants me to stand here, no matter what people say. Amen. Same for you. God has wonderful things for each of you that he's going to speak to you, or he has already spoke to you. And the moment he speaks this good thing for you to do, it seems like all hell comes after you. Nobody understands what's going on. Just like Joseph had the dream. You may have had a dream or a vision of doing something for God. God spoke to you. And you woke up the next morning and it's like, ah, man, that's big. Everything seems like it's in shambles. I don't know if I can do that. And you reason. And then you get other people that are not in faith that reason with you. And you don't do what the Lord's telling you to do because other voices spoke louder than God's. I'm telling you, we could go around the room here in every church, every single believer's life where God's speaking things to them and they've put the brakes on and God's like, push the gas. I got it. I already prepared it for you. I've already prepared it for you. Step into the promised land that I have for you. Amen. But you'd listen to 10 spies instead of 2 faithful. Yeah. 2 faithful will get you farther than 10 unfaithful. Yeah. Numbers mean nothing to God. Come on. Church numbers mean nothing to God. You say, oh, Pastor, that's not nice. Two or more gathered, he's in the midst. Yeah. Amen. All through script, you see small groups of people. 120, God did amazing things. Yeah. 12, he did amazing things. Yeah. 2, he did amazing things. 70, he did amazing things. These are all numbers. God will move in any number of faithful people. Yeah. Get faithful people around you. You'll walk in more authority than you ever thought possible. There's more people walk, and I can't say that. That's not nice. Okay. See, I got to respect the Holy Spirit. Amen. Got to respect the Holy Spirit. That was not nice to say. Amen. So they stripped Joseph of his tunic that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. This is real nice. This is awesome. I want you to understand something. We do not have it that bad in this nation. We do not understand persecution in this nation. None of you have been thrown in a pit with no water that I'm aware of. Anybody? Didn't think so. If so, I want to hear your testimony because you're here to talk about it. Amen. Amen. Notice, it didn't say Joseph grabbed the biggest gun, you know, tried to get people to get, tried to, you know, fight back. Joseph did not fight back the way we think fighting back is. Doesn't talk about him kicking and screaming, trying to grab a 2x4 and beat his brothers, grab a camel and try to run him over. Doesn't talk about that. They threw him in the pit. They stole the very thing that meant so much to him. Really, what it boils down to is they tried to take the anointing off of his life. That's what the tunic represents, the coat of many colors, how his father loved him. God loves you. And has given you a special tunic. Yeah. And there's nothing that the world wants more than to take and steal your tunic and throw you in a pit. There's a lot in this. There's a lot in this. So anyway, so he's in the pit. The brothers are wrestling with what they're going to do, whether they're going to kill him, what they're going to do. So they end up selling them to the Ishmaelites, which have like spices and all these things. So instead of like physically killing them, they sell them instead. So take that for what it's worth. Not real exciting either way. But at least they got him out of the pit and he can have water. All right? So here we are. He's being sold to them. And then what do? Instead of having blood on their hands, they kill a goat, take the blood, and put it on his tunic to take back to his father. And what's the reasoning behind that? To prove to the father that Joseph died. They needed his tunic to prove that. Not just any shirt, his shirt. So see what the enemy's doing to keep Joseph away from what God has for him? They're trying everything. Remember, authority has nothing to do with the natural realm. So they sold him for 20 shekels of silver, verse 28. Verse 31, so they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" Of course he knows. So here lies the problem. They put on a lie to the father. So realize something, church. When you sin, you got to keep sinning to keep covering it up. But when you don't sin and you follow God, it doesn't matter what sinful people try to do to you. They can't keep you down. That's authority. That's authority. We're going to go on. Turn your page to 39. Genesis 39, verse 1. So it goes on. The Ishmaelites end up selling him to Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh. So here you have Pharaoh, the strongest country, the strongest man in the world. Owns everything. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Okay? And Joseph is being sold to him. And you think, this is a terrible life. God is with Joseph. God is with Joseph. No matter how bad it looks, do not get discouraged. Do not get discouraged. Verse 1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Joseph could not fail. Because God was with him. You are not going to fail. I don't care what it looks like, church. You haven't been in a pit. You haven't been sold to the neighbors. Okay? You're not going to fail. That's authority. Knowing God is with you. Right here today. It doesn't matter your circumstance. God is with you. God is for you. You will succeed. See, this goes against some messages that everything's going to be perfect all the time. Ask Joseph that. Ask Paul that. Ask Peter that. Ask every disciple that went before us. It's not roses all the time, but you must know God's with you. God is with you. God is for you. So verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. That is the number one thing Joseph looked for, is the Lord. And he did not base his circumstance whether the Lord was with him or not. The circumstance had no bearing. Jesus went into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. God was with Jesus then. Please get this, church. Do not look at what's around you to dictate whether God's there or not. God lives in you. God lives in you. So he was a successful man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, and his master saw the Lord was with him. People can see God on you. These were the Egyptians. They could see God. You'll find out that Pharaoh even knew the Spirit of God was on Joseph. So the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in the sight and served him. Right there. Joseph, a man of God, served Pharaoh and his officers. Authority. He respected authority even though he did not agree with it. This is big, church. In your life, you must be able to respect authority above you, even if you do not agree with them. There's an element of respect that comes with authority. And if it cannot be seen and walked in, it's going to be a struggle. It will be a struggle. So he served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. There you go. So here we have Joseph in a pit, then out of the pit, sold to the Ishmaelites, then given to Potiphar's officer, or Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh. What a life Joseph is living. I mean, is this like not a novel that should be written for Joseph? This is crazy, the life that he's going through. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Wherever Joseph went, there was blessing. Even if it was a sinful house, Joseph was there, it was blessed. You may be the only believer in your home. Guess what? Your home will be blessed because you're there. That's the authority God has given you. That's the blessing that God has given you. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, if you're at a job that not a single believer works there, but you're there, that business is going to continue on. Amen. Because you're there. Now the Lord may pull you out of there and there'll be struggles. But while you're there, it's going to be blessed. Because you're there. You are the light of the world. If you are there, God is there. If God is there, it's blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Joseph found favor in the sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. See how quick Joseph rose? It didn't say Joseph paid somebody. It didn't say anything. Joseph rose just because he realized that the Lord was with him. And he respected the Lord. And he honored the Lord. And he did the details day in and day out to cause the Lord to stay with him and be with him. You must see that, church. Your life is more than just 2 hours on Sunday morning. You are a child of God that every day is a life for God. And the more you can understand this truth about serving and submitting to authority, the quicker you'll rise up in authority in God. You want miracles and supernatural things to happen? Go to work tomorrow morning. Submit to the authority there. And be faithful and watch what the Lord will do. He'll pull you right out of that pit, if it's a pit. He may make you owner of that business because you're faithful to serve underneath the authority there. There is so many times, you can hear story after story of someone that worked at a job that received the inheritance because they're faithful and the kids got nothing. The owner's kids got nothing because they did nothing. And I'm not saying go to work to try to get an inheritance. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying be faithful. Be faithful. The Lord may give you something through your faithfulness at that job. Or when you go for another job, your boss will be like, I highly recommend this person because they're the only one that showed up on time. People are like, I can't find a job. You get a job and you show up, I guarantee you you'll keep your job. People won't even show up for their job. I talk to contractors and they're like, we can't keep anybody. We're trying to quote jobs. We don't even know how to quote them because we're not sure if our employees will show up the next day. Anyway. That's a soapbox that we're not getting on. So he blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. I'm telling you, that Egyptian was blessed. Glory to God. He wasn't even serving the Lord. But just because he had Joseph around, everything that he had was blessed. And the Egyptian saw it. He saw it. God, people, the world will see God on you. Amen. They'll see the favor of God on you. Let's keep moving. Verse 7. If the enemy can't keep you from working, he'll try to bring people across your path to mess you up. And that's exactly what he did to Joseph. The enemy will try every door. If one door doesn't open, you sealed it up, you got it straight, he'll try to open another door. Joseph was a handsome in form and in appearance. Verse 7, and it came to pass that these things, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and said, she said, lie with me. So here you have good old Joseph doing what he's supposed to do, and then Potiphar's wife is trying to, seduce him. And we're not going to go through it, but you can read all the way down in through verse 15, 16. She kept after him. She kept trying to get him to mess up. For you men out there, I'm telling you right now, to walk in God's authority, you got to keep your vessel. Amen. Even behind closed doors. Not in the public. Keep your vessel pure. Yeah, pastors don't talk about this either, but this one does. Praise God, because I want you to thrive. Amen. I want you to thrive in your marriage and with your family. Keep your vessel pure. The enemy will try everything he can for you to mess up. So here we go. Joseph didn't mess up, did he? He stood his ground as you read through this. He stood his ground, but it just so happens part of his garment got left because she was trying to seduce him. So she used that against him, and then he got thrown in prison. So he went from pit to being sold to being Potiphar. Everything was going well, and then he was being seduced by the wife, Potiphar's wife. So anyway, it goes down, keeps going, the story goes along. Verse 19, so it was when the master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. Joseph did no wrong, but it seemed like nothing was going well. Remember that. You can do everything to the utmost, but things around you, people will come against you, try to set you up for failure. I tell you, you do good at your job, it might so happen that the person that isn't good at their job may set you up or take your credit for what you did. The quality of your work, they try to put their name on it. I'm telling you, minister, let me just get real with you. Ministers that just copy other people's preaching, they're not going to get far because they don't have the revelation themselves and they didn't put the time in to get it on the inside of them. It happens everywhere. As a parent, as a husband, as a wife, if you just try to be like some other marriage, it's not going to go well for you because your marriage is different. The two in your covenant is different than other two covenants. You hear what I'm saying? You got to get it on the inside. You got to know on the inside what God's speaking to you, how he wants you to live. So even though Joseph did everything perfectly and did not lie with her, did not do anything with her, he got set up and he got put in prison. But guess what? Joseph didn't let that stop him. Don't allow things around you to stop you. Our society is struggling with excuses. They have an excuse for everything. Problem with everything. I'm telling you right now, all through Scripture, men and women of God had problems, but they overcame because they stayed faithful to God. Don't let your problems dictate you. You dictate your problems. You tell them to go on down the road. This fly's getting ready to go on down the road too. Jesus' name, get away from me. Anyway, where was I? Wrong page. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, even in prison. Why did the Lord show Joseph mercy? Because Joseph was faithful to do what the Lord said. Joseph didn't cave to man, or in this case, to woman. He didn't cave to the desire, the lust, the opportunity. Not every opportunity is good, church. Not every opportunity is good or of God. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. No matter where Joseph went, he got favor. He was in a pit with no water by himself. Out of the pit he went. Down to Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. It didn't matter what man tried to do, Joseph wasn't caving. And Joseph had prosperity, and Joseph had favor wherever he went. If you're looking for a job and you get hired, guess what? You're going to have favor there because you're faithful. There's natural things you can do that God will honor. I don't mean that in a works mentality. I mean that in biblical principle. Amen. There's things you can do to have favor at your job. Show up. Do good work. Do what's asked of you. I know this isn't a shouting message, but I'm telling you, this is what you need to overcome. You will leaps and bounds above people when you just honor God and His Word. Leaps and bounds. Joseph was finding favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. How in the world does that happen? You're a prisoner, and then the officer says, you're in control of all the prisoners. Man, that's powerful. God can use you wherever you're at. You say, well, I'm in a bad place. Well, you can be in a bad place, but if God's with you, you're in a really good place. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. The officer didn't even check on Joseph and what he was doing. He could have been having a cult down there, getting them all together to overtake the jail. No, that's not what Joseph did, because Joseph understood authority. And he respected the Lord even though he was in prison. He didn't get caught up in what everybody else was doing. How can we bust this jail out? You know, he wasn't doing that. Because they knew he had authority. He had God above him. When people know God is with you, I'm telling you, you'll be released into areas you've never seen before. It's powerful. It's powerful. If you're wanting to be released in ministry, in areas, I'm telling you, give it all to God. You say, well, I got a dead-end job. It ain't dead-end anymore. I'm telling you, the Lord will build a bridge over that dead-end. I'm telling you, He'll clear the trees away. He'll give you a path that you can just cruise right down. That's what the Lord will do. Man, He'll give you a fountain in the desert. He'll supply you wherever you are. When you see what God did for Joseph, put your name there. He'll do it for you. Amen. He'll give you favor at your job. He'll raise you up at your job. Believe God, if you like what you're doing, believe God that you'll become a manager there. Believe God that you'll become an owner there. Believe God that maybe He'll pull you out. You'll start your own business. Amen. Amen. God will do miraculous things for you if you just submit to Him and do the little details day in and day out. Don't back down. The quickest way to promotion is to be faithful. When man sees that they have a hard worker, they're going to pour into that person. If they see an 18-year-old come to a job, a 20-year-old come to a job, willing to learn, versus the 40-year-old that thinks they know everything, that boss is going to be like, they're going to stay there. I'm going to pour into this young person. That's my future. You say, well, I'm 40-some. Well, guess what? I'm 40-some too. Amen. God's got things for the 40-year-old, okay? Amen. He'll take you to other places, raise you up in other things. Do not stop or do not limit God. Amen. Joseph did not bow and just say, I give up. I'm in the pit. None of this would have happened if he gave up in the pit. None of it would have happened if he said, whatever, throw me in the pit. There's no future for me. I give up. See, the society, their first struggle, they give up. They give up. I can give example after example. Yeah, you share it. Come on up here. Because I won't get it right.
As Pastor was preaching, I just want to share that we have two testimonies of people that were in jail, exactly like the story of Joseph. And the one man, he was in jail. He was falsely accused, just like Joseph, falsely accused by someone close to him. And the Lord kept giving him visions of Joseph, kept taking him to Joseph. And the Lord had us start to write him, even though we didn't know him. It's totally a God thing. And we would write, but he would constantly say, I know God is going to deliver me. I just know God is going to deliver me, and I just need to be faithful. And he started Bible studies in the jail. He started, we would mail him Kenneth Hagin books and things like that, and we had to, like, remove all the staples, and there's this whole thing you had to go through to get stuff in there. And every time he would write us a letter, he would draw on it the visions that the Lord was giving him. And 2 years to the day that he was put in jail and falsely accused, he was released from jail and completely, his slate completely wiped clean, and all of the accusations were gone. They were stricken from the court. They were all taken. But it's interesting because we look at this story and think, this is an Old Testament. No, this is happening now. We have another testimony of a guy who, yes, he had done something wrong, but it wasn't to the point where they threw the book at him, threw him in jail for like 25, 30 years. And everybody knew it was wrong, but they it was the court system that was perverse and against him, making an example of him. And he kept trusting the Lord, and they kept entrusting him, just like Joseph. He was over the library. He was over these things. And while he was in the library, he started studying the law. And the Lord just started showing him things. Because again, he didn't say that he hadn't done anything wrong, but he was believing God to get him out because he shouldn't have been in there that long. And so he just kept trusting the Lord. His family spent all their money on lawyers, but God. And all of a sudden, we get this request, can you write a letter about him to the judge? So we did. We wrote a letter saying, you know, we understand he did this, but he's a stand-up guy. You should look at his record. And he just kept trusting God, and he was released. His whole sentence was commuted. And now he serves the Lord. But even in jail, he was preaching the gospel, and he was trusting God. So those are literal examples and testimonies of the now, right now. So no matter what you're in, you trust God. You give it over to the Lord. And both of those men were always put into authority in the jail, just like Joseph, because people saw God in them. And even when others came against them, they never stopped praising God. The one, he was guilty, and he would openly say, I messed up, but God has a plan for me. And now you should see his life. I was able to hug that man just a few months ago. And boy, it was the most amazing thing to be able to hug him and know. But he just kept praising God, even when he was in jail. None of you are in jail, but thought patterns can put you in jail.
Amen.
And so you need to keep, thank you, Lord. That is not for me. But wherever you are, the Lord will exalt you as you humble yourself to him. And you say, Lord, I will serve you no matter what people say about me. No matter what accusations they put against me, no matter what accusations the enemy brings against me, I will not bow and I will not be afraid. But it was just stirring in me because of those testimonies that Amen. We had of men that were literally in jail and the Lord got them out.
Amen. Amen. Powerful, powerful testimonies. And that's the thing. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for me, who can be against me? If God be for me, who can be against me? What can man do to me? Amen. That's what they were saying. What can man do to me? I know my conscience is pure. That's what those men were saying in jail. I know. Joseph's like, I know I'm doing what the Lord's asking of me to do. And guess what the Lord did? This story is phenomenal, and it keeps going. In chapter 40, the butler and the baker got in trouble, and they got put in jail. And they had dreams about that. And even in the midst of where Joseph was, He interpreted their dreams, even in jail. And that moment was a deciding factor that allowed him to interpret Pharaoh's dream later on to give him the realm of authority over all of Egypt. In the jail was the key to Joseph's victory to have authority over all the land of Egypt. And I don't have the time to get into it, but chapter 40 talks about the butler and the baker. But we're going to go briefly to 41, not get into Pharaoh's dream, but it was seven sick cows, seven healthy cows, seven bad heads of wheat, and seven good heads of wheat. And what happened, it was 7 years of feast, and then 7 years of famine was the dream interpreted, what Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Verse 37, I know I'm trying to jumble up a lot, but I would just want to get a few points out there, and we'll be where we need to be. Verse 37, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh. He's talking about his interpretation of his dreams. And in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Pharaoh himself knew that the Spirit of God was on Joseph because he was able, no intellectual person in all of Egypt could interpret Pharaoh's dream but Joseph. Yeah. Yeah. The man in prison. Yeah. Think about that. You have the Spirit of God on you. You have something that the intellectual society does not understand or have. You have the Spirit of God. You have the interpretation. You have the spiritual understanding to see and discernment to know things that the world cannot see. Yeah. Whew, you may feel like you're in prison, but you ain't in prison. Hallelujah. You're more free than you've ever been. Amen. Because the Spirit living on the inside of you. This is how this applies to you. Doesn't matter if you're in the pit or at Potiphar's house or in prison or wherever you are. You have the Spirit of God. You have the favor of God. You have the ability to overcome. Verse 39, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one in as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. Joseph just received second in command right below Pharaoh. But he started in a pit. That's big. Ruler over everything except for he could not sit on the throne because that's where Pharaoh was. That's the only thing that Joseph did not receive was the chair to sit in, the physical place where Pharaoh was, or the first chariot because Pharaoh was there. He got the second chariot in all of Egypt. Discernment is key to authority. Notice that. Verse 39 again. Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. Man, we should be seeking wisdom. In discernment. Yes. That's what's going to give you the authority in every place. Amen. Finishing up here. Verse 41. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him with a garment of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Man, if you're taking notes, what was stolen from Joseph? What was ripped from him? His coat, his tunic was stolen. What did God do? God restored it. You know what a signet ring represents? That's the stamp of approval. They sign things with their ring. Pharaoh was the only one that could sign certain things, documents, things in the law. Yeah. Joseph got everything. Yeah. All the power that Pharaoh had, Joseph received because of God. Amen. Man, if you don't get a hold of this or get anything, I feel the presence of God so strong. You got to realize something. You don't have to go through all the man-made ways of becoming a leader in where Pharaoh was. You can have discernment of God and be faithful to God and rise right to the occasion. And guess what? It doesn't matter where you start either. Where did Joseph start? He was in the field tending sheep. And then he got thrown in a pit. Didn't start out real well for Joseph. But it's not where you start, it's where you end. It's not where you start. It's not what you're going through right in this moment. It's what the end result is. Those that are willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. Come, enter into the joy of the Lord. You were faithful over little, I'll make you ruler over much. It's not what you're going through now that defines you, church. It's who you know, whose ring is on your finger, whose coat is on your back. That's what defines who you are. Amen. When you speak God's word, it's God speaking. Took his signet ring. You know what? That represents authority. It represents covenant. It represents identity. Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it. He didn't make another ring. He took it off his hand. He didn't say, I'm going to do this and you're going to do it too. He's saying, I'm giving you full authority. I'm giving you actually. It's kind of like a key to your house. It's not saying we're going to duplicate this key so we can live at this place and do the same thing together. It's saying, here's the key to my whole house. It's yours. Think of that. See, our minds are too small. We can't grasp these spiritual truths. All of Egypt was submitted to Joseph because he had discernment in the favor of God. Took his signet ring off his hand and put it in Joseph's hand. And he clothed him with a garment of fine linen. Man, so much better than what he had. What Pharaoh had opportunity to make a coat with was way better than what Jacob had. Nothing against being a farmer. I was one. All right? But what I can make a shirt or a coat out of is different than what a whole nation or a whole country has the ability to get. But guess what? That whole nation put everything together to give it to Joseph because Joseph had favor. Get ready, church. I'm telling you right now, you're laboring too hard in the wrong area. Whew! That's a revelation. Get in the presence of God. That's where the flow is. I am so excited about this message. Anyway, verse 43, in closing. And he had him ride in the second chariot, which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. If you don't understand authority, nobody can move unless Joseph said so. Wow. That's amazing. Thousands of people could not do a thing till Joseph gave the approval. Joseph went from nothing to having total authority and everything had to flow through him. But what did he do? He submitted to authority wherever he went. He didn't buck the system. He didn't try to kill the guard. He didn't get on Facebook and talk down about people. Let's look at present day society. What people do when they're put in a predicament, that's what refines you, church. How you handle the struggle will define where you go. How you submit to authority. When things are coming at you, how you handle the battle is everything. Because we don't war against flesh and blood. So if somebody does you wrong and you get on Facebook and you bash them, I'm telling you what, you're going to stay right where you are. You are not moving up because you cannot handle your vessel. This is exciting. This is going to make the church just grow exponentially. Messages like this. I'm telling you, literally it will, but the world doesn't think it will because people are so touchy-feely. They're so carnal. Carnal isn't a bad thing. Carnal is just moved by your five senses. Joseph was put all, he was put through the ringer. Today, if somebody looks at you with a funny eye, all of a sudden you're offended. Not you. I'm not speaking to you. Speaking to the camera. Not you. Amen. But please understand this. We don't understand what persecution is. When God's with you, when God before you, who can be against you? It doesn't matter what goes on. I've said it before. Somebody came in that door and literally shot me and killed me. Phew, I'm in a better place. You say, that would be horrible, Pastor. Not for me. You may have to figure it out, but I'm in a great place. Amen. I'm not encouraging that, but I'm telling you, that's where you got to get to. You got to get to dying to self, where it's not about this world. Yeah. It's not about what I can gain in this world. It's about His kingdom.
That's it.
It's about Jesus.
Yeah.
Everything's about Jesus. Yeah. Everything's about Jesus. Come hell or high water, I don't care what it looks like around me. I don't care what my bank account looks like. My God will supply my needs. That's authority. I'm submitted to Him. I give to Him. It's His job to take care of me.
Yeah.
You say, well, that's awful mean. No, it's not. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. But you must first give your life to Him. Surrender and give it to Him. Hallelujah. In closing, verse 50 through 52. 2 points if you're writing notes. These are the last two for today anyway. And Joseph was born 2 sons before the years of famine came. So the 7 years of feast came. They collected food. Now it's famine time. I didn't get into the brothers and them coming and all the story that keeps going. But you'll have to read it for yourself. But Joseph had 2 sons before the year of famine came. With his wife, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, and this is what it means. For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. There's point number one. He named his firstborn. The meaning of it, I forgot my toil and all my father's house. To grow in authority, you got to let go of the past.
Amen.
Don't let your past define your future. If you want to grow with God and go in the things of God, you can't hold on to the past. A balloon will never go up if it stays tied.
That's it.
Number two, his second son. The name of the second he called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Point number two to authority. God will take care of you in the midst of your struggle. So the past is taken care of. The present is taken care of. All you have to do is look forward to what the future has. Amen. Which is good. Which is good. Amen. Hallelujah. There's so much more to this. I just did the appetizer. You say, I've been here a long time, Pastor. I'm telling you, spend some time in this story. You'll dig so much out of Joseph's life. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I thank you, Lord. Those listening online, just close your eyes right where you are, all around the world. Don't let your situation around you define what God wants to do through you. Lord, I thank you for Joseph's life, Lord. As an example, from going from pit to prosperity. From going from nothing to everything. From growing what looked like having no authority and zero power to having total control of a nation. Father, we submit our lives to you even now. We give our hearts to you even now. Our life right now and what it looks like does not define us. The battles we're facing right now do not define us. We take these principles of authority in Joseph's life, Father, and we apply it to ours right now. We submit ourselves, number one, to you, Lord. And number two, we submit ourselves at our job and our place of business. We do what's asked of us till the promotion comes. We're faithful to stand till the fruit of our faithfulness is manifested. This story is not just a story. It's someone's life lived as an example for a life that God has for you to live. Full of God, full of prosperity, full of authority. But it starts with knowing Jesus. It starts with knowing God as a heavenly Father, a loving Father that cares for you, that isn't moved by circumstances, but is always faithful to see you where you are and to see you through, to always make an escape for you. And the number one escape that He's made for you is giving you His Son, Jesus Christ, to escape the power of sin and darkness, to escape the lies of the enemy, to escape this evil and perverse generation, and know that you have an eternal home in heaven. That's the number one authority that God has given us, is to receive His Son, Jesus Christ, the name above every name. And if you're listening, whether here or online, and you never asked Jesus into your heart, that's your first step of faith to make in the realm of authority, to receive the supreme authority in your life. Hallelujah. So you can ask Him into your heart. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross and You rose again for me. Set me free right now in Jesus' name." You may be here today. You know the Lord. You've walked with the Lord for many years. But there's something in this message that's speaking to you about authority. Not being moved by circumstances. Not being drawn away by lusts, like Potiphar's wife. Billboards, computer screens, advertisements that lure you away from the holiness of God. Maybe it's fear that has tried to take root in your life. Or maybe has already taken root in your life. I'm telling you, there's a God that loves you. And He cares about you. And that fear can be broken today. That worry can be broken today. That anxiety can be broken today. And you can live a life like Joseph, free, knowing that God is for you and God is with you. Joseph wasn't free from circumstances in this evil world, but he was free spiritually to step into realms of authority, to continue to move forward, and to be raised up in the realm and the places God put him. Church, I'm here to tell you, there's places God has for you, and He's raising you up, and He's preparing you to stand in those places of authority. If you're believing God to step up into places of authority that you've never experienced yet, and God is speaking to you, He's revealing to you these places, I'd love to agree with you to step up, to not be moved. And it may take today, it may take that moment to get out of your chair and say, "You know what? I mean business with God. He's speaking to me in this place. He's sharing His heart with me." And it'll be my step of faith today that's going to carry me. Just like Joseph, he stepped with God wherever he went, and the Lord raised him up. He didn't get in fear. His life never talked about fear of what he was going through. Ever. Joseph never spoke doubt. He never said, "I wish it could have been this way." Man, these people did me wrong. That never came out of Joseph's mouth. He was faithful. He was committed to God. And so are you. God's going to raise you up to places you never thought possible. I'm sure Joseph in that pit never thought all of Egypt would bow to him. The Lord may be speaking things greater than your physical ability. I know He is. Because God doesn't base His decisions on the physical. He knows His power. And He knows your ability. And when His power touches your life becomes empowered by Him. So it's not in your ability any longer. It's in His power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us online. We love you. Have a great week. But if the Lord's speaking to you and you would like prayer, you can come right forward. I know we had an altar call already, but nowhere in the Bible does it say two altar calls are not right. God is talking to people. He's dealing with people. That's what He does. God speaks to His children. He encourages them. He uses men and women of God to speak His word to encourage and edify and build up. It's what He does. So it's not the minister. It's not the church building. It's not the name of the church. It's the presence of God. It's God literally touching His children, touching His people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wow. Hungry people. The same that were receiving their healing are believing for even greater. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. You got to get hungry for God. Jesus. Hallelujah. You got to get hungry for God. The Lord sees every single person up here, their faith, as they release it. He sees it. He sees it. He sees it. Hallelujah. The woman with the issue of blood pressed in, touched the hem of His garment. Hallelujah. He turned around because virtue left His body. Healing virtue left His body and touched that woman. She was made whole. That very moment. Glory to God. Same is true with the things of God, the giftings of God. It all works the same way. So whatever the Lord is speaking to those that are up here, it's their faith that's going to make them whole. It's their faith that's going to carry them through, just like Joseph. Thy faith has made you whole. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Faith. Faith as a mustard seed. You may be sitting out there thinking, I don't know if I have enough faith. All you need is mustard seed. All you need is a mustard seed size of faith, and you already have it because God already gave it to you. You have everything you have need of in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everything. Everything you have need of. Everything. You have need of. Everything you have need of. In Jesus' name, everything. Ha! From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Everything in Jesus' name. Ha ha! It's not in your head. It's in your heart. Faith is of the heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Rivers. Rivers of living water flow. Ha! In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everything. Everything. Everything, says the Lord. I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jesus in you has given you all things. Whatever you're believing for, God is already farther than that. Whatever you can see, God's already farther than that. He can do abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Ah, there's abundance. There's abundance. I'm not going to get into it, but I see documents being signed. I see a table with papers, documents, legal things that are good. This isn't a bad thing. This is a good thing. But it's documents that God's giving his signet ring, his stamp of approval. And when you sign it, it's going to be like God signing it for you. Because it's not in your power that you're going to be able to do it. God's signing it with you. Whatever that is, you know. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. He's going before you, preparing the way. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what it is. God knows. I don't need to know. God knows. Everyone here, just lift your hands right where you are. God knows. God knows. Just receive. Just receive right where you are. God knows. Touch every person with their hands raised in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive it. Receive it. Just say this out loud. It is mine. You can do better than that. It is mine. All is well. Because God is for me, and no weapon can come near my dwelling place. I am victorious. I am overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God is good. Well, don't touch the people up here. Have a great week. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Amen. Amen. Keep the music going. God is still ministering to people.